you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the round of applause. I certainly do appreciate it. It's a privilege to be here with you today. As in any profession, when you've got a main job function, family things to do, just life happens. Occasionally, you're not able to get to what you're really assigned to do for that day. So what I've done is I have put together several best of shows for you. And today is going to be a compilation of best ofs from AR-15 discussions. So there's several different pieces, parts within here. The show culminates with a recap of the Ronin AR-15 with all the parts and the parts lists from Brownells. So if you missed that show when we originally aired it, that will be in the latter portion of the show. So we're going to discuss all about the AR-15. Why? Well, the reason being is that the AR-15 platform happens to be the most popular semi-automatic platform in America today. So we need to do it justice. We'll also be putting together different information eventually on AK-47 and the SOCOM sort of guns that are out there based on the M1, the Garand style actions, which would also be somewhat inclusive of the Mini-14s, the Ruger Mini-14, Mini-30, very similar actions. But today it's all on the AR-15. So get out your pen, get out your pencil, get out your paper, get out your notebook, start typing, whatever it is, and start documenting some of the things that we're going to give to you when it comes to parts and ideas of things to consider for the AR-15. The AR-15 is a gun that is in abundance out there in America today. The ammunition is in abundance. The components to load are in abundance. The magazines are in abundance. As we're going to demonstrate, as the show progresses, some of the thoughts and ideas behind these guns, the reasons for them, as well as the parts to really make them work, and some of the things to avoid. There are a few pitfalls, things that will make the AR-15 platform inherently less reliable. As you'll hear throughout the show, it is an inherently unreliable system that can be bettered. And that's what this show is all about. It's all about the look of the AR-15, the duty of the AR-15, and the improvement of the AR-15 when it comes to a reliability standard. Now, keep in mind, an AR-15 is like a grown-up man's Barbie doll. You can accessorize it with just about anything. I would caution you to overdress your AR-15 Barbie with too much stuff and keep it a little bit more simple and keep it to really the necessity of what an AR-15 should have, the necessities attached to them. However, really, the internal components to make the gun continue to run is A number one. You don't want to attach anything to the gun if it's not going to be a reliable gun. You need to have a reliable platform first, and then deal with accessories from there. So stay tuned through the break. Today is AR-15 Day, right here on 2A Radio.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break. Okay, the term assault weapons was created by some anti-gun person group. I forget who. I have the information somewhere. Back in 1988. And it was created to define scary-looking legal civilian weapons, essentially to profile guns. So if they have large-capacity magazines, which large capacity in the definition of the anti-gunners would hold more than 10 rounds. So if it holds 11 or more rounds, then that would partly qualify to be one of these assault weapons. If it has a flash suppressor, that's at the end of the muzzle, so when you shoot, there's not this really big, bright flash if you shoot indoors or at night. If it has one of those, that's another prerequisite. Oftentimes, bipods. Now, these are also going to be semi-automatic guns, not the fully automatic version that the military wants to use, the semi-automatic version, right? And oftentimes they'll have like a bipod attached, not always, but sometimes, oftentimes in a little concealed vertical handle. But the real problem of what's missing on these assault weapons, as it were, would be the ability to fire fully automatic. Now, the anti-gunners always use the term automatic weapon to try to get the ignorant millions in America to believe that they are fully automatic. You would actually see Senator Dianne Feinstein holding an AK-47, a real-life, not just a movie prop AK-47, a real-life AK-47, and waving it back and forth, pointing at the crowd back in the 90s when she was trying to get this assault weapons bill through. Finger on the trigger, pointing back and forth at a crowd, looking down the muzzle as she's waving this gun around. Absolutely demonstrating what not to do with the gun. Now, was this all planned out? You bet your bottom dollar. So as scary as these semi-automatic version of these fully automatic military guns might be, as scary as they might look, they're being created to be demonized because of their look and that they're semi-automatic. They say high rates of fire. Well, I got to tell you, I can press the trigger on my lever-action rifle and run the action just about as quick as I can press the trigger on my semi-auto. Not quite as fast, but pretty darn close. I can run my pump shotgun just as fast as I can run my semi-auto shotgun because I trained. So it's not really a version of the action. So what is it? It's the look and the fear that they create. They talk about these high-power rifles. I've got to tell you, just about any rifle that you can hand to me, Mr. and Mrs. Anti-Gun, and tell me that this is an assault rifle by the way it looks, I can show you a much more powerful rifle and show you quite honestly how wimpy, in comparison to rifle ballistics, that this quote-unquote assault weapon really is. The U.S. military uses an M16, and that's chambered in 5.56 millimeter, also widely regarded as the .223, right? Now, the 5.56 and the .223 do have very, very slight differences. There are differences, but essentially, for all intents and purposes, it's the same round. Very, very weak round. I've known a few people who will actually go deer hunting with that caliber. But these are guys that are pretty good shots. That's a pretty weak round. 55 grains in weight. Keep in mind it takes 7,000 grains to make a pound. So 55 grains in weight. The 1911 that I'm carrying right now, I have 180 grains in it. And that's not even the heaviest round you can get for this. 180. So this rifle's much smaller. It goes much faster. It's 22 calibers. So 0.22 of an inch. Not quite a quarter inch at its thickest. And they don't weigh much. They're not that high power. An AK-47, that would shoot a 7.62 by 39. That means that it's a 30 caliber round. It's 0.308 of 1 inch. And they're running about 124 grains. So quite a bit heavier, going quite a bit slower than the 5.56 or the 0.223. My point being that these are not inherently very powerful rounds. So the anti-all, they're designed to go through body armor. Actually, no, they're not designed to go through body armor. Body armor isn't designed to be held up to these things. There's no such thing as a bulletproof anything. There's just bullet resistance. A bulletproof vest. There's no such thing. There's a bullet-resistant vest. And, by the way, anti-gun politicians, I want you to understand, there are many levels of bulletproof, or rather bullet-resistant vests. Most cops go with just a regular level 2A, which is not a very heavy-duty round. It'll stop handgun rounds. It'll stop buckshot from a shotgun. And it ends there. If it's a really high-powered, heavy-duty handgun round, like from a handgun you might take out hunting or as a backup to hunting, or any rifle round really whatsoever, it's going to go through. Reason is, it's lighter weight, it breathes better, it's easier to wear on the street. It's easier to wear 8 to 10 hours a day on the street. Okay, that's why cops wear those. If they're going to be on a SWAT team and go in and do an interdiction or serve a high-risk warrant, they're going to be wearing something like a level 3 or a 3A or even possibly a level 4. Level 3 or 3A with ballistic inserts, they're going to wear that. The cop on the street is not going to wear that. It's the bad guys, not the guns, that are causing problems. All right? To take a gun, which serves a specific look, and say, okay, that is an assault weapon and that's a bad deal. That's like looking at a vehicle and say, wow, that vehicle can go 120 miles an hour. The highest speed limit in America is 85. So that thing shouldn't be allowed. Well, we still buy cars that go faster than 85. Matter of fact, every car I've ever owned can go over 85 miles an hour. Matter of fact, when I first started driving, the national speed limit was still 55. You think they sold cars that stopped at 55 or 60 miles an hour? The answer is no. So there's no law against what type of semi-automatic guns we can have, except that they've banned the import of certain guns. You know, I was talking with a colleague of mine, a guy that I highly respect, a guy that was actually my sniper instructor. And he's been homaged in a couple of movies, in fact. And he and I had a discussion one time. I asked him, I said, if there was only one gun, one single individual gun that you could have, that's it, just one to choose from, what would it be? He said, a Galil. He said, really, a Galil. What is a Galil? He says, well, it's based on the Kalashnikov action, the AK-47 action. However, the Israelis, it's an Israeli gun, the Israelis took it. They made some improvements over the Kalashnikov action, and then they forged the receiver out of hardened steel, and they've chambered it in two or three different calibers. And that gun will run and run and run, better than an AK, way better than an AR-15 or an M-16. It will continue to run and run and run. Well, those things are really expensive in the U.S. because these semi-automatic guns were put on an import ban list. Now, there's, I think it's Vulcan Arms is making an American version of the Galil. But the actual Galil out of Israel, whatever's in this country is all you're going to get. You're not going to be able to get any more. It's on a ban list. It was profiled. Many guns are on the ban list under a profile. This ban list screws you and I. Do you really think that having these guns on this list have stopped any crime at all whatsoever? Well, the obvious answer is no. Bad guys are going to get whatever guns they can get. Oftentimes, they don't really care what they get. They just want a gun. And most bad guys are walking around with handguns. Those aren't on any import ban list. Just rifles. When good people go bad, generally, they'll grab a handgun or a rifle. Not very often a shotgun. But there are shotguns on the bad on the ban list. They are profiled onto the ban list. How stupid is that? Career criminals don't carry around rifles. They're not portable and they're not concealable. When decent people flip, we talked about it on yesterday's show, when they just plain flip and they're out of their mind, They're going to grab what they can grab. And there's really not much any of us can do about that until we see them and we can take out our own guns and stop them. That's happened a few times in this country. Happened a couple years ago in Colorado with a lady in a church. A bad guy comes in to start shooting the place up. She pulls out, I believe it was a 9mm Beretta, and dumps this guy and puts him down. It happened at the nursing home a couple of months ago down south, where a single cop didn't want to wait for SWAT. He knew there was a problem. Went in there, charged in with his gun, young cop, and took out the bad guy and stopped the madness. Now imagine if a civilian had been armed in that area before the cop ever got there. Well, a lot more people would have lived. A kid in Tacoma, Washington, in a mall several years ago, starts shooting the place up. A guy had a concealed firearm, had carried it for years just in case something went bad. This kid is shooting with an AK-47, I believe it was, an SKS, something like that. Something that would be considered an assault weapon. The good guy pulls out his handgun and says, "Son, you better put down that gun." What was the kid's response? He shot the guy up. Because the guy wasn't mentally prepared to engage. But he could have ended it right off the bat. That's why we need to be armed in this country, because there's bad guys. And they don't need to be bad guys with guns. It can be bad guys wielding bats, wielding knives, driving over people in vehicles. That is what being armed is all about. Stick around through the break.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys. I'm really, really, really getting sick and tired of the anti-gunners coming out and saying, what do these quote-unquote assault rifles have? What legitimate sporting use do these assault rifles have? Okay, well, here's Judge Napolitano's answer to that.
Here is the dirty little secret of the Second Amendment that you probably never learned in public schools. The Second Amendment was written to give you the right to shoot at the government when it becomes a tyranny.
Okay, so the answer to the question, and on Meet the Press, the governor of Pennsylvania asked Wayne LaPierre of the NRA this question. Wayne never really answered the question. We discussed this. There's really no legitimate hunting or sporting purpose for the gun, for those types of guns, for AR-15s, AK-47s, such as that. They weren't designed for that purpose, and we don't buy them for that purpose. Now, there are competitions. You can go out and shoot with an AR-15 or an AK-47, different things that they put together wrapped around that gun. But those guns are designed for defensive use. Now, I got to tell you, I have gone hunting with an AR-15 before. And I got to tell you, it was a blast. Me and a couple of friends that live in Hawaii took us over to Molokai, to some friend's property. This guy owned from the shore all the way to the top of the hill, you know, thousands of acres. And the area was absolutely overrun with feral goats. I mean, the vegetation was just screwed. The environment for all of the these wonderful, beautiful tropical birds were getting trashed because of all of these goats everywhere. So we climbed up the hill, and we went hunting. We had two AR-15s with scopes on them. One of the guys had an AK-47. The other guy had a bolt-action precision gun. It's basically an urban precision rifle, Remington 700 with about a 20-inch barrel on it. And we went over there on an absolute mayhem-laden goat slaughter, and it was awesome. I have never hunted with an AR-15 with an ACOG on it before, but I got to tell you, popping goats from one ridgeline to the next at, you know, 200 to 300-plus yards with an AR-15 was frickin' awesome. That was fun. And we thinned the herd a bit. It was, without pulling any punches at all, It was nothing more than thinning the herd from a bunch of goats that were absolutely decimating the entire countryside and just destroying the habitat for countless other animals. So we went over there on a preservation hunt and absolutely annihilated a bunch of goats. It was awesome. With that exception, there's really not much of a hunting purpose for AR-15s or AK-47s. That's not their design, and that's not why we keep them. We keep them for defensive use. That's why we have them. That's why the Second Amendment exists. That's why you just heard Judge Napolitano explain the reason behind the Second Amendment. We keep AR-15s and AK-47s and guns of the like to be able to shoot at people that would bring us harm. Now, some people say, well, you know, people don't need guns in a civilized society. You're right. We're not a civilized society because your lack of enforcement of laws has allowed the criminals to reign. Now, here's the thing. The only way that gun control would ever even come close to, I shouldn't even say it because it wouldn't ever work. The only way that it would ever come close to your fantasy world would be if every gun on planet Earth vanished. And the ability of everyone who knew how to build guns, make guns, and how they operated, if they were killed. So you would have to take possession of the, I don't know, probably 2 billion guns on planet Earth and vaporize them. And then everybody who knew anything about the millions of people that know how to build, operate, or get a gun functioning, the tens of millions, you'd have to kill all of them. Then there would be barbarism. Then, with the guns gone, that's where the gangs and the bad guys would pick up blunt instruments or sharp objects and go to work with that. They would no longer use a gun. They would still carry on. And then we, the citizens, the intended victims, would be left completely defenseless unless we wanted to get everybody armed with samurai swords or katana swords or nunchucks or something, and everyone had to fight with handheld instruments. So you seem to want to blame the misuse, the illegal use, the poor use of firearms used by the crazed few and lump the rest of us into the same pack. We have absolute fanatical stupidity in the eyes of anti-gunners because they are just in a fantasy world that the world would be better without any guns. That's not true. The world would be better if we had better people in the world. The idea of banning ammunition and guns is totally stupid. It never has worked. It never will work to stop crime. All it does is it stops law-abiding citizens from being able to protect themselves.
We'll have more right after the break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun. Leave the firearms to us. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
You've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
Okay, welcome back. Now, here we go with the highly anticipated recipe for the Ronin AR-15. Now, let me lay a little bit of groundwork. Ronin is the word that was given to samurai whose master was killed or lost in battle. They were then masterless. And oftentimes, Ronin would go out as essentially mercenaries using their skills because that's all they really knew. And it was, there was some shame involved, however, not so much that they wouldn't do it. Okay, so Ronin are very trained individuals, like-minded. They know what the right thing to do is, and they do what they can with the weapons that they've got. So that's why I chose Ronin AR-15. Let's start off with magazines. First of all, you need to have proper magazines. The magazines I recommend have an aluminum body, hard anodized to resist cracking and lip separation. They would generally have a dry lube coating, and also a chrome silicone spring and a Teflon-reinforced anti-tilt follower. These are very important things. Don't go to some place online and say, okay, well, there's magazines, AR-15 30-round magazines for $6.95. Don't buy those. Those will cause you problems. It is not hard anodized on these aluminum magazines. They do not have chrome silicone springs. They do not have anti-tilt followers. Do not use those. And the same thing with if you have a 1911, don't get the old junky GI magazines. I had a student in a class that had a great gun. He was shooting a Les Bear. And with this Les Bear, he had these old junky GI magazines. He kept having malfunction after malfunction after malfunction. It was a two-day class. It was an advanced tactical handgun course. And the first half of the first day, he was so mad. He was ready to put that gun away, get out a different gun, and send his gun to the gunsmith to get fixed. I looked at his magazines. They were junk. I loaned him three Wilson Combat magazines that aren't $6 a piece, 25 or 30 bucks a piece at the time. He used those for the next day and a half. He didn't have a single malfunction with the gun. All the malfunctions were related to the magazine. Same thing, big problem with AR-15s. Now, I have bought magazine bodies and then put in floor plates and the right springs and the right followers. I built my own stuff. Well, as it turns out, all the stuff I used to do to build the right magazines, Brownells, I'm going to give you a bunch of Brownells part number. Brownell sells all kinds of great stuff. And I'm also going to give you two prices. If you're just a retail customer, you have one price. If you actually sign up as though all you really need is a business license. And if you have a business license, you can get the discount. And I'll give you the different prices here. So Brownells has started putting these magazines together. They use a hard anodized dry lube coated aluminum bodied magazine, a chrome silicone spring with dry lube attachment to that, and a Teflon reinforced Magpul anti-tilt follower, which I have in all of my magazines. The part number is 080-000-489. All of these are nine-digit numbers. Some have an A, B at the end, but three numbers dash, and then the following. So 080-000-489. If you are a retail customer, you'll pay $19.95 per magazine. If you can get these with a wholesale discount, they're $13.50. Moving on, we now want to talk about a charging handle. Now, that's the thing that actually runs the action. Not so much the handle itself, but the latch, which is attached to that charging handle. The standard one on the AR isn't quite good enough. A lot of people will go with this kind that comes out, and it's a big square. And I got to tell you, when you're carrying the gun in a tack sling, that digs into your chest. It's a bit much. It's just a bit much. The right one that is out there is made by a company called Precision Reflex. It is called the Gas Buster charging handle with a flat latch. Now, I'm going to give you a couple different things. The latch itself is what's important. You have the latch, and it is attached to the actual charging handle with a pin and a spring. So you've got the latch, the handle, the pin, and the spring. If you are able to take the pin out and get the old latch and the old spring out and put the new latch and spring in and repin it, then you're going to save yourself the money. If you want to buy the entire charging handle, I'll give you that too. So the entire charging handle with the flat latch, the part number is 556-000-002. Retail price $108.99. The discounted price $82.37. If you want to get just the flat latch and go through the process of taking the old latch out, putting the new latch in, you can save yourself some bucks. It is not the easiest thing to do on an AR. It's a little frustrating, but you can get it done if you have the right punch and the right type of hammer. Don't go nuts with this. It is a crush pin. The flat latch only is part number 556-000-005. That is $23.99 retail, $19.13 with the industry price. Next up is what I would like to refer to as the, it's called the Defender D-Ring, made by a company called MGI. This little D-ring goes on the back of the extractor. The extractor goes into the bolt. You've got the bolt. You've got a little pin that holds the extractor, and the extractor has a spring with a spring cup. The D-ring goes around the spring and spring cup, touching into the extractor itself, and then it's pushed back into the bolt, and the pin is reinserted. What this does is it changes the angle of the extractor to the point where it will extract just about anything. You will not have problems with stuck casings anymore. If you have a stuck casing in a hot chamber, maybe it's been reloaded and not properly resized or something, whatever the reason is, you want to get it out if you need to use a gun. When do malfunctions happen? When do jams occur? While you're shooting your gun. And if it happens while you're shooting a gun in a self-defense situation or even a hunting situation, you've got to get it handled now or prevent it. This will help prevent it. It adds 300% more extraction power, and you're much more likely to get it out of the chamber. If it's not coming out of the chamber, it's going to be stuck anyhow. You're going to have to get a rod and pound it out. It will literally rip the edge off of the casing that's in there. And so it wouldn't have come out with a standard extractor without a D-ring. But you put the D-ring, you put the better extractor we're going to talk about in a minute here on there, and if it's able to come out, this will get it out. The Defender D-Ring is made by a company called MGI, just a little rubber piece. The part number is 741-015-003-AB, as in Adam Baker. A lot of these end in AB, I don't know why. The price is $15.23. Industry price, $11.70. You only need one. Okay, and we're going to get into the bolt and bolt carry and everything in a minute. The selector switch on a gun. Now, to be a true Ronin gun, I believe it should be ambidextrous as possible. So with that, here is the ambidextrous selector switch. It goes from safe to fire. That is made by DPMS. The part number is 231-015-012. That selector is $30.30. Industry price, $24.24. And that works well with the proper pistol grip. That pistol grip I recommend is made by Falcon Industries. It's called the Ergo Grip. The part number is 573-000-025-AB. The price of that is $26.40. Industry price, $19.85. Now, it's got a little thing on the bottom where you can pull this little plug out and put something in there, put the little plug back in. Don't do that. Don't store stuff in your rubber pistol grip. Don't do it. Okay, carrying on with that, you're also going to need to get a little thing called the gapper. And that goes underneath the trigger guard and where the grip go. There's a little space in there. And you'll cut up your middle finger on your firing hand as you go in, put your finger on the trigger, you'll actually cut that up. So you get this little thing called the gapper, and it fits in there, a little rubber piece. It complements that Ergo Grip quite well. Made by Falcon Industries, part number 573-000-004. Cheapest item on the menu, $3.25. Industry price, $2.60. Right? So, now, we're going to move on to the bolt carrier and the bolt carrier combo. Here's the deal. The bolt and bolt carrier and all the stuff in there, if it has a finish which is either heat-treated and hard-chromed or heat-treated with a tin finish, a titanium nickel finish, what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of natural lubricity because it's been finished with either hard chrome or the tin. T-I, capital T, lowercase I, capital A, capital N. Big T, little I, big N, tin. That's titanium with nickel. Having this finish on the bolt carrier, everything such as that, keeps it more lubed, and on top of it, keeps the carbon buildup, which is the real major enemy when firing an AR-15, is carbon buildup. When you fire around, the powder gets burned. Now, when the it's like a campfire. You burn a campfire, and then what's left over after the wood is burned is ashes. Carbon are the ashes of the powder which is burned when you fire the round. So that gets into the gun. If you have a hard chrome or tin finish, bolt carrier, extract all that stuff all together, the carbon is not going to attach to it nearly as quick as anything else. You'll literally get hundreds of more rounds out of it. Plus, being heat treated, you're not going to and then finished, you're not going to have problems with excessive wear and damage either. So I recommend the entire bolt carrier, the bolt assembly with the matching extractor, all of that stuff already installed. All you need to do is take the extractor out, put the D-ring, the Defender D-ring on there, put it back in, and you're good to go. Okay, these are made by DPMS, the hard chrome version, part number 231-000-177. The entire bolt carrier, all that assembly, $205.36 retail, $164.29 with the industry discount. To get the tin version, slightly upgraded, that is part number 231-000-178. Retail price $244.55. And the discounted price, the industry price, $195.64. Again, this is all out of Brownells. Brownells.com. Brownells.com. Now, on the back of the bolt, there's an area where the gas goes through. And they put on these three little gas rings. And they look kind of like a little clip that has a slight little open end. The reason they're using three is because gas can escape through that little open end. So they put those three on there. So the likelihood of those little open areas lining up between the three isn't very likely. So you won't have gas escaping, so the bolt will continue to run. However, I have had experiences where these things will line up and you have gas leakage. You got to take the gun apart to fix it, especially if you get a lot of carbon buildup. There is a gas ring replacement. This goes on there much like you would spin a key on a key ring. It's a lot more like the key ring. There are no open gaps. It is an essential piece in my book for a Ronin AR to make sure it keeps working. This is the second cheapest item on the menu. It's made by Fulton Armory, called the gas ring replacement. It is part number 100-001-257-AB. You don't need to put the AB in when you search. I'm just giving you it officially. It's $3.79 retail, $2.97 with the industry price. Now, one of the things we run into is hard primers. I mean, you can have whatever trigger system you want in there. I recommend just keeping the stock trigger in there. Don't go below 4 pounds on an AR-15 battle rifle. Just don't do it. Don't get into these really light things with an easy reset. That's weak. That's not what you want. You want a crisp break. You don't need a light break. And I do not recommend light triggers in defensive guns of any kind. Have a standard weighted trigger. Have it smooth. Have it crisp. It does not need to be light. Do not do it light. However, if you get primer strikes, like say on a, I don't know, on Wolf ammo or something with a hard primer, or it's got a coating over the primer, a lot of NATO type of ammo comes to you that way. You need to really get that thing to ignite. So you need an extra power hammer spring. That's not going to change the weight of the trigger pull, but it's going to slam forward and get that firing pin smacking into the primer, igniting even the hardest of primers. So the extra power hammer spring. Keep in mind, it's a little difficult to install, but it's great. So that part number is 969-000-101-AB. $13.99 retail, $937 industry priced. Now, I also recommend being able to carry a single point sling with this gun, so you need the single point sling connector. It is ambidextrous. It's made by CrossTac Corporation. Part number 100-003-181-AB. It's $29.95, retail $19.95, industry priced. So then with that, you need to have the tac sling, the single point tac sling to go with it. That's made by Black Hawk Industries. Part number 100-003-349. That's $32.99 retail, $26.39 industry priced. Right? Now, magazine release. You get a magazine release on the right side of the gun. The back of that piece can also be made so it's an ambidextrous magazine release if you need to switch to your support side. It fits in and looks just the same as the normal back, but you can use it as a magazine release as well. I recommend that. That's made by a company called Norgon. Part number 653-001-015. I wrote that down wrong. I think it's $90.95. Industry price, $72. I messed up on the actual retail price. I know the industry price is $72. It's not $10 for one and $72 for the other, so I apologize. Next up, we have the high visibility tritium front sight. It's a front sight that is a tritium insert so you can shoot in dim light. Made by XS Sight Systems, part number 006-000-103. $60. $60. Retail price, $52.50. Industry priced. And I believe that covers the entire Ronin AR-15. And what a perfect time for that. As we go into the final break, before we come back and give a little bit of closing comments for today's show. So this is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. Stick around through this break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So the question is, why go through all these modifications? Why spend these few hundred dollars on all these parts for the AR-15? Reasons: the AR-15 is inherently an unreliable system. Too many moving parts, gas checks, blah, da, 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 da. Now, I will tell you how this thing worked out. The AR-15 was originally designed by Stoner, if I remember correctly. And Stoner designed it to be used on very, very clean-burning stick powder for the propellant. And when it actually got made, when these rounds were actually made, this is back in the day when you had McNamara as the charge of the Secretary of Defense. And during the Kennedy-era administration, Kennedy, Johnson, such as that. And he was the type of guy that wanted everybody to be all the same. You know, everybody, you know, wears the same kind of boot, wears the same type of uniform, you know, the same kind of starch using uniform, whatever. Everything the same. Just streamline everything, which in a lot of ways is a good way to do things, not always. So if this gun runs on clean-burning powder, that means there's not a bunch of carbon getting into the action and the system of this and getting built up. Well, when it actually came time to produce the rounds, they sent a bid to DuPont and said, this is the formula for the powder. What we want you to do this powder. DuPont came back and said, this is such a tight situation. We estimate a 40% rejection rate because making this powder would be so miserably difficult. So we're not going to accept the bid. We refuse. And they were the only ones at the time that had the feasibility to even do it. So McNamara, in his infinite wisdom, said, you know what, forget it. Just use the standard ball power we've been using forever. We get a bunch of that. Just use that. Well, then the guns started getting dirty and were not reliable. Soldiers were getting killed left and right. So the guns that they were originally told, look, you'll never really have to worry about cleaning this gun. Now they had to send out cleaning kits and cleaning manuals in the field and get them to clean the guns. So the carbon buildup is really a bad thing. If you can buy ammo or load ammo with the Win Clean powder, you get many, many more shots out of it. That's the way the gun was designed. These pieces, parts, will help keep the gun running, considering that it's an imperfect system with carbon buildup. That's really what this is all about, keeping the gun running. It's a battle rifle. Keep it going. Now, none of these parts are really going to have to be fitted, but you're going to have to know what you're doing when it comes to installing them. If you want to take it to somebody to install all this stuff, that's great. Just realize you want to be able to look and see all these things. If not, you can go online and order yourself a video like out of AGI or something like that, and they'll show you need to have some specialty tools, a couple little things. You can pretty well get away instead of using a bench block of something to tap something. All you really need is like a 1 or 2 inch roll of masking tape that you can lay the gun over the lower receiver, something like that. So anyhow, this is what we're looking for. This is really going to get your gun up to the Ronin status. So if that's what you're looking for is ultimate reliability out of an AR-15, those are my recommendations. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a wonderful day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.